brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Elizabeth Gordon. It is December 18th, 2012, and I've got a great show for you today. Today's show, we're talking about the pathway to business ownership with a few key members of the Georgia Association of Business Brokers. Today's panel is going to share with our audience the steps of buying a business and the resources that are available to potential buyers or sellers of businesses. With me here in the studio to talk about this topic are Catherine Push with Consult Cap, and who's also the past president of the Georgia Association of Business Brokers and has been on the board on and off for about 15 years now.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct, Catherine?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mike McManus is also here with Consult Cap, a current board member of GABB. Eric Gagnon is with us, restaurant broker of We Sell Restaurants and a recent past president of Georgia Association Business Brokers as well. Eric, welcome.
Good morning.
And we've got Harvey Daniels. Harvey Daniels III with us here in the studio. Harvey is an associate at Burr and Foreman and also a restaurant opener.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Great. So it's going to be a great conversation. Can't wait to learn more about the topic. And let's start by getting to know our guests. Now, Eric, you're the founder and president of We Sell Restaurants and a nation-leading restaurant broker, an industry expert in restaurant sales and valuation. Tell me a little bit how you got into this business.
Well, we started the company as a one-man shop about 11 years ago. I had a good friend of mine that was a restaurant broker in Charleston, South Carolina. And I was working my way through the corporate world with very little satisfaction, and I ended up in Atlanta with a Big Five accounting firm. And he said Atlanta needed a good restaurant broker. And 11 years later, I'm happy to say that my friend Jim Mooring in Charleston, South Carolina, was right. We had a great success. We have now the largest restaurant brokerage firm in the United States. We franchised our company a year and a half ago, and Robin and I published a book last year called Appetite for Acquisition, which is the ultimate guide for buying a restaurant.
Now, a lot of people dream of owning a restaurant, but it definitely comes with its own set of challenges. What are some of the specific issues that you end up having to focus on in the restaurant industry as you're looking at acquiring or putting together a sale on an existing restaurant?
Well, I'd like to defer that to Harvey here that's lived in.
That's always great.
Hands on. But there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of nuts and bolts, a lot of moving parts. And there's a lot why a lot of brokers don't want to deal with restaurants because there's so many different things from, you know, fire safety issue, health inspection, you know, building code, liquor license issues. There's many, many more things that involves a lot of businesses that are like a retail business doesn't have half of that. So the fact that we know that and people don't know that, people call you all the time, don't even knowing what to expect as a buyer or as a seller and all the steps. So there's a lot of, I would say, hundreds of moving parts to do a deal.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get into some more of those moving parts in a minute. Let's meet the rest of our guests. Mike McManus with Consult Cap. Mike, give us a little bit around your background and how you got into this.
Sure. I spent about 20 years in telecom. And before I jumped into here, I spent about 4 years in business consulting and met Catherine, and the concept of coming up into business brokerage was presented, and she and I hit it off very well. And so I joined her back about 2007 at the beginning of the recession. Great time to go into business.
Of course. Well, it's always a good time to go into business when you've got a great value proposition for
Absolutely.
Your clients, right? Now, Catherine, you're a seasoned professional as well, consultant and broker. Also a background in some corporate areas. Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Yes, I started my career out of college with a big international consulting firm, and And I found working with large clients a challenge and certainly exciting. But I enjoy working with small business owners because you get to work face-to-face with the people who are making the decisions and whose life you are really impacting. And so about 18 years ago, I segued my practice into general consulting with small business owners in whatever areas that they needed, with a specialty in business brokerage. And 15 years ago, I pretty much said, I'm just going to help those people that are getting in and out. And there are lots of things that small business owners really just do not think of. Most of the time, they're focused on running their businesses, and they haven't even envisioned the day when they're going to want to get out.
Right. I was going to say, probably most business owners don't think about all of the things that you have to think about when it comes to selling a business, because just running a business is so much work in the first place.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. Small business owners' days are very full of multitasking. Oftentimes, they're not only the boss, but the chief cook and bottle washer in their restaurant. Sometimes, if someone doesn't show up, so thinking about that day when they're going to want to sell the business or transition it to the younger generation is just not even on the forefront of their mind. But yet, they'll get a lot more for the business, and they'll have a lot smoother transition if they will start talking to us at least a couple years before that. So even if they're not thinking about it, they should be thinking about it. The day they get into business, they should be thinking, how are they going to get out?
And Catherine, you're also a licensed real estate broker and a frequent public speaker and a published author as well.
Yes, that's true.
Do a lot of the transactions entail a real estate component in addition to the business entity?
It's interesting that you ask that, because by law in Georgia and approximately half the states, you do have to be real estate licensed to be a business broker. Many people don't know that, but in fact, it is a complicated transaction with legalities such as contracts, and even a lease is real property in Georgia. So if the business has a facility that will transition either in brick and mortar or in terms of a leasehold, it does require a licensed broker to manage that.
Now, Harvey, you're an attorney with Burr and Foreman, and you advise clients on a variety of business issues, including succession planning and M&A.
That's exactly.
Now, and how did you get into the restaurant business?
Well, into the restaurant business because I think to have a healthy career, it's nice to have it dovetail into things that you're passionate about. So I was able to take two passions of mine, practice of law and advising clients, and I guess create and become a client of my own, because there's nothing like food. But as I learned, that's something totally different from actually owning the restaurant. I'm not there for the day-to-day, but, I stay as involved as I can with a, booming practice of law. As you can imagine, there may not be too much time, but it's definitely something I was happy to get into and able to take my skills from practicing law to build the foundation that it takes, as Catherine was saying, to build a solid business.
Right. And there are so much contracts involved in both building the business as well as ultimately trying to transition it to another owner. So the knowledge of that, I'm sure, is
absolutely very key. It definitely come in handy as Catherine mentioned, from leases, from when you're starting out to different vendor contracts. It's nice to have that skill set of a keen eye to detail.
Employment and 1099 agreements.
Absolutely.
We always encourage all of our small business owners to have a business attorney, not a litigator, but a business attorney on their team. And that's a person that we work with, because we want the client's best interest to be served by the entire team of professionals that are working for them.
Now, since we're talking about all the fun of being a business owner, where can our audience find businesses for sale if they're interested in either starting a new career journey or diversifying their current business portfolio? Resources?
Well, absolutely. There's a lot of resources online, just to name a couple. GABB.org is a great place to find a number of listings represented by GABB members, obviously. as well as there are other online sources such as BizBuySell.
BusinessBroker.net, BuyAndSellBiz, GlobalBX.com. There are several website, national website, that are just general portal. Now, this is buyer be aware. There's a lot of listings out there that sound too good to be true a lot of times, which they are. So just be extremely careful to look for people that are either licensed like Consult Cap team or We Sell Restaurant team. Look for reputable people because there's a lot of people out there unlicensed or unregulated. So these websites are just a sea of you don't know what you're getting.
And that's why I also recommend GABB.org. I mean, you know you're going to have a representative of GABB on there that's going to handle it professionally. And it's very easy for business owners out there just listing themselves, and you don't know what you're going to get when you do that.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the value of GABB and working with a GABB broker in transaction. Tell me a little bit more about the organization and some background there.
The Georgia Association of Business Brokers is the state professional association for people who are serious about their business, like Eric and Mike and myself. Those people that are strictly focused on helping business owners to get in and out of business. We work to maintain high standards of professionalism, focused on continuing education and ethics in terms of a review of things that may not be quite appropriate. There's a forum there that if someone feels they need to file a complaint, it can be heard. And so in an industry that is essentially unregulated other than having a real estate license, the Georgia Association of Business Brokers provides sort of a focal point for buyers and sellers to at least know what they're getting into when they choose a member. And we like to think that all of the best brokers would certainly want to be a member of their state professional association.
Well, of course. Now, what about the process? It's not just a, hey, I want to sell my business. Okay, we'll do that next week.
That sounds
it's
good.
It's quite
though.
A long process, yeah. Right?
Sometimes so, that's what they think.
Right. Well, that's yeah. What I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. How do you work with a client to help them understand all the steps that are going to be involved in ultimately putting a transaction through?
Well, for the benefit of the business owners out there thinking about selling,
please.
If you have a broker that just shows up at your place of business, put a listing agreement in front of you at any price and say, sign here, run right now.
Big
run
red
right
flag.
Now. I mean, this is the scariest thing you can have. I mean, a good broker will usually take a good process of due diligence. It'll ask you for several documents. It will ask you for your P&Ls, your tax returns, list of assets, copy of your lease, many, many documents before it even give you a price for your business. I've worked with clients, I'm sure Catherine and Mike has done the same, for over 2.5 years before we could put their business on the market because their financial house was in disarray. We had to bring accountants, lawyers, different things, renegotiate some leases to show the actual true value of the business to maximize their return. So it's a pretty lengthy process. I'd say, you know, on the fast side, you're probably looking at a week to 2 weeks. And on the long side, you're looking at years.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the key pieces that we do is we meet with the business owner to understand the business, understand what they bring to the business, and really understand what it's going to take for a new person coming in, a new owner, to be successful in that business. One of the things we all rely on is the fact that when we do sell, put a new person into a business, that down the line, we hope to sell that business. And so I think we've all been successful from that kind of a relationship.
Now, what about valuation? One of the important points is how much is this company really worth? How do you peel back the onion to really understand what's driving the value and what it's worth on the marketplace?
Well, I'd say 99.999% of the time in my world, which is primary restaurants, the business is worth more to the owner, actual owner, than anybody else in the world by a lot. So that's the first reality.
let me also say, and it's worth a whole lot less to the buyer, too.
Exactly.
There's a little factor there, a little gap.
So, yeah, that gap in how we're viewing value.
This is where a good broker comes into play. Because you want to be aggressive in your pricing, but you don't want to leave money on the table. You know, so that's where a good broker will do that and recast. And Catherine can talk a bit more about recasting because she's very, very good at recasting. How we look at it just from a straight P&L or a straight tax returns, Catherine can tell us a bit more about how we look at a business differently than the accountants and the buyers out there.
We certainly know that when we come into a business owner's facility, one of their biggest concerns is what my business is worth. And as Eric pointed out, it's just unfair to expect us to look at your nose and tell you what your business is worth. And there are people that will, in fact, do that, but that's typically just a ploy to get the listing. Tell the guy what you want to hear, and he wants to hear, and he'll sign. But those of us that are professional, we like to look at the business the way that a buyer would, and the way that a lender will, and the way that the buyer's attorney will, and say, you know, what do we need to maximize the value, the true value that you can get in the marketplace? And we do understand that a small business owner will run the business to not pay any more taxes than he needs to. And we don't mean illegally. We mean legally, although sometimes some are quite creative. We know that they're not going to try to be showing a lot of profit on the bottom line. They don't have stockholders other than maybe themselves and a spouse or something to right. To impress. So we need to look at the business from an ownership value standpoint instead of from a strict accounting standpoint. And we have mechanisms and we've studied to how to recast the financials so that we understand what the true value of that business is to an owner. But at the same time, that has to be documented and visible to a buyer and a lender. So we can't just say to someone, well, go hang out in the parking lot and you'll see how much money they're making. You know, it doesn't work that way. And sellers need to understand that we're going to need to document their value. And in terms of valuation, there's a term, valuation, in the business brokerage industry, which is a true third-party valuation, typically not done by the broker who has a vested interest or by the owner who has a vested interest. If a third-party valuation is required, we can handle that and have that done. And there's a cost to that, of course. Many times, small businesses, especially that are going to sell for under $500,000 or $1 million even, will have a market price much like you do with your house. In other words, we keep databases full of business sales. We can go and look at other businesses, certainly not exactly like yours, but similar. And we can say these kinds of businesses will get this ratio of their revenue and this multiple of their profit, and we can get you in a ballpark. And that's the way a lot of businesses are priced versus a true third-party valuation.
Okay. And what's the importance of documentation when you're looking back to recast the financials?
Come again?
For the owner, have they kept the right documents?
Oh, absolutely.
And record keeping for the past 3 years, 5 years, or what the case may be.
You will be surprised. The owner documentation, I've seen some owners with immaculate books, seven case files of records, and it's fantastic. And then I've seen others that literally say, I've got a box of receipts here, and I've added them up, and this is what we're looking at.
Right.
This is our cost of goods. And it's amazing because they're looking to you to sell the business, and you've got to really try to make some concrete information out of this.
Turn that into an official.
So you can pass it on to a potential buyer. And there is some difficulties in that. And let me just mention all as well, GABB, we have got a number of brokers there, but we've got a number of affiliates as well, people that are in the accounting side of the world, people that are actually business appraisers that we were talking about earlier. And these people can help. We bring them in, attorneys, to help business owners make sense out of what they have. And a lot of times alleviate certain problems that they may have come across, especially in trying to do a deal.
Eric?
And Mike's right, and we got to look at when you do a deal. Important thing for buyers or sellers is to get people that are knowledgeable about transaction, and not about just my lawyer did a great job of my divorce. I'm going to bring him in to represent me to put a contract. I've gone to CPAs where they don't know anything about restaurants, and they look at the bottom line. It says, "Why do you want to buy this business?" It says, "You lost $30,000 last year." Well, that's not accurate. So you got to make sure you get the CPAs and the attorneys. Even a business valuation appraisal, or even the broker. Pick a broker that, like, I wouldn't be comfortable doing a daycare. I don't know anything about daycare. I know a lot about restaurants. You know, Catherine and Mike probably much better. They do a lot more, a broader range of businesses. So make sure that you get people that know about your business, understand your business, understand this. This is a very specialized world. So buyer and sellers, be aware, surround yourself with the right team.
It's interesting. I just had breakfast with a guy who owns 5 daycares around Southeast, and he was telling me how we feed our children 3 meals a day. So part of our business is running
a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's
absolutely
true. There's a lot of businesses have multiple pieces to come up with what the entity is ultimately worth or how you're going to continue to increase the value of that. Harvey, when you're advising clients on different business issues, what are some of the things that you see and run into?
From a legal standpoint, documentation is a lot for us. I think, just like business brokers, are always trying to get in and uncover what's out there. And especially no matter what side of the deal that we're on, whether we're the purchaser or the seller, it's always a kind of battle with your client to always be upfront with you. We can handle issues if we know that they're there. When we don't, and we're at signing and all of a sudden something pops up, that's where things can get a little hairy. So from a documentation standpoint, that's what's really important to us. And we have the added pressure of actually looking into the other side's documents as well, because we need to make sure that we're getting the best deal for our client.
Now, in terms of the transaction, I would think it's probably rare that somebody, when they do buy the business, just writes a giant check and that's the end of it. There's a variety of ways of structuring these transactions. Talk a little bit about some of the creative ways that owners can structure a deal so mm-hmm. that it's going to be in their best interest, but also in the best interest of the person coming in to buy the company.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Elizabeth. An all-cash deal is something that a seller dreams of,
yes.
but it's generally pretty much of a dream.
It's pretty much a reality in our world.
Yeah, in restaurants is probably where if you see them, you'll see them
That's
more.
Right.
And it's partially because of the documentation that you do or do not find in that world is a little bit more unusual than a typical business. But many, many deals have a component of what's called seller financing, where the owner is holding some kind of promissory note with generally a security of maybe just a promise to pay and maybe some kind of small amount of collateral or a second lien on the business assets. And this is just a reality in small business, often due to the concern of the buyer about the ability of the business to truly transition. A small business is often so closely held that it's closely identified with the owner, and the buyer has some trepidation about whether he'll be able to run the business and customers will stay, clients will stay, etc. So if the owner is willing to do some seller financing, he's more likely to hover a little bit and help out. And the buyer gets a great boost of confidence, feeling that the seller has some skin in the game. And so seller financing is very common, as well as SBA 7A loans. And if there is truly real estate involved, a building, oftentimes a regular commercial loan of some kind, in something like a daycare or a hotel or something like that, there is obviously a big chunk of real estate.
We've seen also in our world a little surge into 401k conversion. I mean, a lot of people don't know about that. We've seen a lot of that now, 401k conversion, where you can convert your 401k without any penalties into investing into your own business, and then there's no repayment and everything. It's really taking your money and putting it in a separate company, and it invests into your new venture.
Yes, due to the difficulty in getting financing in the last few years, and the great number of CEOs and COOs, et cetera, coming out of corporate America and wanting to buy a business, they're willing to bet their own pension plan on their business. And we do see a number of people doing this, and it's a careful consideration and obviously involves the spouse and generally an attorney or other trusted advisor to say, is this the right thing for you to do to convert that money? But it is a way to bet on yourself, and many of our buyers are absolutely willing to do just that.
Yeah.
I might also mention that there are other loans available, SBA loans, and again, I'm going to go back to the GABB affiliates. We've got a number of bankers and SBA lenders that are constantly stressing the fact that they do have money to loan. It's not as easy as it once was, but they are encouraged. They're trying to find people to loan this money to. And so it's out there. It's becoming, I hate to say it, I don't want to say it's easy. It's becoming easier every year coming out of this recession. However, it's out there. It's available. And I think working with the proper broker, we can help swim those waters and make it happen that much easier.
There's a fact that many people just kind of ignore, and that is that any group of professionals that are devoted to a certain niche are obviously going to have all the resources and expertise that you need right there. And so the Georgia Association of Business Brokers has, as Mike and Eric have both pointed out, as many affiliate members as we do broker members. So we've got people who focus on loans, who focus on valuation, who are attorneys who focus on transactions, who help the buyer with due diligence, who do environmental testing. Anybody that you might need, and these are people whose focus is just this. You know, they're not doing something else tomorrow. This is what they are doing. And Mike's point about lending highlights your question, Elizabeth, about documentation, because you cannot get those loans if you did not bother to document with good financials. And your transaction may not survive due diligence or the attorney review if they find that your documentation is not in order. So even though it's not a love of small business owners to make sure that their financials and their documentation in terms of human resources and taxes are in order, it really will benefit them in the long run to get this done. And that's why we like to see them early, to just do a little review and point them in the right direction.
Nice.
Another HUD financing thing coming up on the horizon that may be a good idea, Elizabeth, for one of your future shows in 2013 is crowdfunding. A lot of changes to crowdfunding are coming up where you're going to be able to invest actually just like a share system, not only doing a more of a social system. That is coming to changes, and that's something that's been approved by Congress, Senate, and the President all together. Believe it or not, they all agreed on one thing last year, was the changes to crowdfunding. So I think it would be very exciting, and if you're a buyer or a seller, you want to really look into that for 2013. I think it's going to become reality in 2013.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Now, what does someone need to do to become a business broker? We've talked about each of your individual paths to this profession. What are the requirements or steps of become a business broker?
Go talk to Catherine Push.
Legally, a person just needs a real estate license to claim that they're a business broker. Professionally, a person needs to have some experience with small business. Many business brokers are former small business owners, attorneys, accountants, or management consultants of some type, because they understand the ins and outs of small business ownership and can identify with the small business owners really to speak their language and to understand where they're coming from and what their difficulties are. And the more experience that the broker has, the more transactions they will have seen, and therefore the bigger their toolkit will be in solving problems. Like many, many other complicated and relatively lengthy ventures, there's going to be a number of hurdles in any small business deal. And each one has to be overcome successfully for the buyer and seller to get to closing and close that deal. And it really is about managing that series of hurdles and having the tools necessary and the resources and people necessary to solve that series of issues. There's just going to be some. It's just like life. You know, if you have a move, something is going to happen, right? Well, if you're moving a business from one person to another, things are going to occur that are going to slow it down. You don't know what they are yet, but they're going to happen.
It's better if you expect that and are aware of
and can
all
deal
of the
with
potential.
Them. Have someone on your team, some people on your team, who can address those issues and all want to address those issues. They don't have competing interests.
I mean, we've seen a lot of, as we all know, residential real estate has slowed down quite a bit in the last few years. A lot of people try to convert to business brokerage because they see some activity and everything. A lot of the larger firms, residential firms, are trying to establish a business brokerage division without any knowledge, without any guidance or leadership. If you want to be a business broker, one piece of advice, go and join a business brokerage firm that does that as a primary source of practice. So don't go to RE/MAX and become a business broker. I think it'd be very challenging. Most of the firms are smaller, too. Most of the good firms in business brokerage are boutique firms. They're not large firms. So you got a lot of hands-on with your broker, with the owner of the firm, and that's the way you're going to learn the fastest and the best way to build a business brokerage practice. I would discourage people to go to the larger firm and try to make a living at this.
Let me add, if I can, one other thing I think makes a successful business broker is really being able to connect with other business brokers that are possibly representing a buyer. We call it co-brokering. And as at GABB, one of the big things that we support is that concept of co-brokering, where to make a deal happen to find that buyer, you may want to connect up with one of your other fellow brokers and having those relationships. For example, GABB, we've got over, I guess we've got like close to 150 members, something like that. And those kind of connections actually give us a wide reach to find the right buyers out there for individual sellers and opportunities.
Absolutely, huge in putting the deal together. So as a seller, what does the seller need to ask the broker before deciding to list with them?
The main thing, I think, is credentials and experience, much like any profession. I'm sure that if you're going to hire someone to build your deck, you're going to want to know whether they have a license and insurance and whether they're experienced. And if you're going to think about selling what's probably your most valuable asset and something that may be the biggest source of your retirement income, you should know that the person handling it has the credentials and experience to manage that process. We're very much like a quarterback. We're going to quarterback the entire process and work with the team. So you want to know that person will work with other trusted advisors. They're not just sort of a loner who wants to say, hey, trust me, I'm going to sell this in 3 days and for three times more than you think it's worth. You know, you really want to believe that the person has the credentials that you need. So you should do some due diligence on that broker. Maybe get some references, at least check their credentials, and you can do that on their websites. And make sure that you know who you're connecting with for this transaction, which will typically take, although we've sold businesses in weeks, it will typically historically take 6 to 9 months to sell a business. So this is a long-term thing. You don't just jump into bed, so to speak, with the first person who throws a listing on the table and says, by the way, I'll cut the commission if you sign today.
Right. Now, from a buyer standpoint, it also makes sense for someone looking to buy a business to work with a business broker. What are some of the things that that come up in that interview process as they're deciding who they want to work with, the buyer?
I think a good broker will educate their buyers, because most buyers a lot of time come first hands on their meeting and say, tell me your dream. And their dream is unrealistic. So we have to do a gap analysis between their dream and the reality of the marketplace. And then, you know, if the broker doesn't do that, just say, yeah, sign here, and I'll represent you, and I'll start making phone calls. Again, run. I mean, you have to be careful about these things. I mean, a good broker will tell you the reality of the market, because he will know, or he or she will know the market. You know, JBB, we have monthly meetings, for instance. We all get together, you know, like 100-plus brokers, and we talk about what's going on in the marketplace. I don't do anything about restaurants, but I ask Mike, Catherine, other brokers, how's your industry? How's your business? So you have to know this business. And if the buyer is not willing to be realistic, then you don't need to be out there in the marketplace. And, you know, always be aware. I'm probably going to get a laugh from these guys here when buyers will tell you, I'm a serious buyer. If they have to say that they're serious, usually that means that they are not quite ready to go out to market.
Huh. Yeah, I think Eric is definitely correct. A lot of what, you know, brokers of small businesses and definitely lawyers of small businesses, we definitely manage expectations a lot. It's, you know, you just want everyone going into the transaction knowing, you know, best case scenarios, worst case scenarios, and with understanding that it'll probably come down somewhere in between. So a good professional, and you only know that with the experience that you have, is able to manage the expectations of the clients, whether it's a buyer or a seller, so that at the end of the day, everyone walks away from the deal feeling good about it.
Sure. Good point. Everybody likes to talk about the potential upside or how this is
exactly
going to be a windfall.
I work in worst case scenarios.
You really want an advisor who's going to give
right
you the facts.
With a buyer, the biggest thing I think is that they just don't know what they don't know. And of course, that's as you would expect. You know, this is brand new to them. But I often say it's not my job to be your cheerleader and just tell you, oh, yeah, that's great. Let's go do that, because it'll just be wasting our time, your money, and I don't want to see you fail. So I'm more likely to say, you know what, let's look at this hard. Let's look at how much money you have, at what your experience is. Let's manage those expectations about what you can really buy. And maybe you need to work a couple more years before you can actually do that.
I mean, true story. Yesterday afternoon, a broker from New York called me. He says, hey, I represent a hamburger chain, and I want a 2,500 square feet in Buckhead for about $3,000 a month. I see Harvey here making eyes. Y'all can see that. But
that's not going to happen.
Exactly. I said, you know,
you can get a parking space over there.
Exactly. If you find a storage building for $3,000, let me know. I'll take it. But, I mean, again, this is a national burger chain. Get a guy from New York, doesn't know the market, doesn't have realistic expectations, sign him up, calls me, and he's making a fool out of his client because he's not realistic about it. So these people will not be in Buckhead or in Atlanta anytime soon until they readjust their expectation.
Having that perspective is huge. We've been talking with the Georgia Association of Business Brokers about buying a business and selling a business and managing the business that you already had for future growth. As you all know, here on the Results Matter radio show, we always like to end the show by talking about results and the results that matter. So, Eric, let's start with you. At We Sell Restaurants, and as you're working with clients, what are the results that really matter?
The result measures, it's got to be a win-win situation for the buyers, the sellers, and even sometimes the landlords. So our job is to make sure that everybody's happy and everybody, it's a win-win for everybody. If there's not one party that has a win, there's not going to be any deal, and we fall short of accomplishing the goal.
And I'm sure that never happens at We Sell Restaurants. So if people want to get in touch with you or the company about helping them with their next transaction, where can they go?
They can find us at WeSellRestaurants.com. That's WeSellRestaurants.com. And my email, it's Eric, E-R-I-C, at WeSellRestaurants.com.
Terrific. Mike, how about results on your end?
Oh, absolutely. I think the results I enjoy the most, though, is it's meeting that passion. When a buyer meets up and connects up with a business that they're buying and it really fills their passion, that means a lot to me. I like that. And again, it's when a seller is selling their baby, the thing that they've raised, and feel satisfied that the new owner is going to take over and grow the business. I like seeing those kind of results.
Nice. And Catherine?
I also like seeing that the seller put as much of the money into his pocket as he could and didn't pay any more in taxes than he needed to. So deal structure is often just as important as price, deal terms, and that's often overlooked by brokers who are not as experienced. So for us, it's making sure the seller is happy and that the buyer is happy enough to recommend us to sell his business after he's grown it. It's a great fit. He's happy. He's passionate about it. He doubles or triples the business and then calls us again.
There you go. You get a lot of referrals that way. And if folks are interested in finding out more about working with Consult Cap Inc., where can they find more information?
They can find us at www.consultcap.com, and that's consult, consultkap.com.
Excellent. And Harvey, as an advisor to business owners, I know you're all about results.
Definitely.
Some thoughts and closing comments for us.
Well, I think the takeaway from today is all about foundations. To make sure that you have people in your corner that can take you from the idea of buying or selling your business to actually making the transaction happen. From the very beginning, engaging with a business broker even if it's just to get education from the beginning, and then down the line, once the terms have been pretty much negotiated, to find a good attorney who can facilitate the transaction, because at Burr & Foreman, you know, clients are what matter to us, as well as results. And to be able to facilitate a transaction to work as the client so desires is something that we really look forward to doing.
Terrific. Well, it's been a pleasure having you all here in the studio today. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Georgia Association of Business Brokers on the pathway to business ownership. Thanks for tuning in to another Results Matter radio show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4255. 4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.